Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The throw, the punch is away. He floats one wide open, and there he goes. Tipped down for a Texan touchdown.
Well, hello and welcome to the bullpen. We're here live with Texans insider Aaron Wilson. And filling in for Tom is Texans County, a.k.a. Dylan Delgado. How are y'all doing today?
Great. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Here to talk to
my first time talking to you guys in a video. So, yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
Excited to be here. Excited to fill in for Tom.
Yeah, thanks. And Dylan and I have talked on the phone before, including recently. So this is my first time kind of putting a face with that. So, yeah, good to see you.
Yeah, man. Good to see you as well.
All right. Well, I'll get right down to business. The first topic of discussion, obviously, with what happened today is going to be Dalton Schultz's extension. Obviously, we already saw the terms and know that he re-signed. Do you have any sort of insight into how that situation sort of developed? I know there was some talk that they could possibly franchise Dalton, and then sort of in the midnight hour, it felt like they kind of came to an agreement. But do you have any insight into that?
Well, a little different than that. So they've been working on this for a while. They've had a, as you probably saw me and others report, a mutual desire to keep working together. And I reported Sunday that he's not going anywhere. He'll be a Texan one way or another. And so that was more their thought. Will they have the tag in case they need more time? They didn't need more time. They beat the deadline by several hours. So it wasn't really close where there's a gun at their head of the franchise tag. I think what would have happened today if they didn't reach the agreement, 3 years, $36 million, and 23 and a half of it fully guaranteed, is they would just continue to negotiate. I don't think they would have been like, we can't let Dalton Schultz go to the market, because they would have given them an opportunity, even if they had gone to free agency, to stay in touch and say, okay, well, this is what you're getting. This is what we're offering. I would say it's market value for a player, you know, where Dalton, you know, he's had some accomplishments. He didn't have a ton of leverage other than, you know, he could have went to free agency. You know, CJ Stroud wanted him back. They wanted to make sure that that continued, the timing and the chemistry that they built, and the relationship that he had with CJ. So to keep that going, he's also young enough that it made sense from a business standpoint. You know, he's not 30 years old. So he's 27, but he's a fairly young 27. So I think for a couple of years, you know, it makes sense for them to keep working together. Sure. at some point they need to get younger at this position, and you know, maybe even as soon as next year. But for now, it made sense to do the deal, and it really wasn't that tough. You have two veteran negotiators in Nick Caserio, who's helped by Andrew Brown. You have Steve Keurig from Wasserman Sports, represents a lot of the top tight ends, including Zach Ertz. So I didn't really see this one. This was one I figured they could get done. And there'll be more deals. You know, they're in a negotiation with Chris Boyd. There's Kyahmi Fairburn. You know, there's some other ones. I don't know if they're going to finish and if they'll happen or not. But, yeah, they're going to, and they said they were going to concentrate on retaining their own. Not close on a Devin Singletary deal at this time. So we'll see if they can get that done. And I'm sure you guys have lots of running back questions too and other spots. But, yeah, as far as just answer your question and sum it up, no, it was not a surprise that they got it done, and it wasn't super dramatic. It was just, you know, it was heading that direction for days. Mm-hmm. They had a good interface at the combine, and they were able to continue that conversation, and it all culminated in a deal today.
All right. Dylan, what do you got?
Yeah, I think my question, you know, the running backs is a running back. I mean, we're going to – who knows? I think, Aaron, you've mentioned multiple things, and I don't think anyone really has an idea of what they're going to do at this point, it seems like. So I'll stray away from those questions. I'm more curious to – what are you thinking they're going to lean on the special team side? Do you see a deal with Kyahmi coming, like where it's going to be signed, or do you think they'll go with a new kicker and a new puncher? I think Cam Johnson, I mean, a big reason of where we are from last year was because of the way he flips field possession. And you notice those 3 weeks we didn't have him. Like it was a game changer. So I'm a little hesitant on like a new puncher and a new kicker just because they've been good. So I'm kind of curious to see like – those deals closing?
Great question, Dylan. So where they're at, and obviously I can only say so much sometimes about negotiations. You know, they're sensitive. They are going back and forth. But I can tell you about Kyahmi, and I've reported, they are continuing to go back and forth. But, you know, the number needs to come up. He needs to be one of the highest paid kickers for them to do the deal. So where they're at right now, they're not at that point just yet. And he made $4.4 million last year, so he was the ninth highest paid kicker. And, you know, obviously the deal is a bit outdated now. Does it mean he needs to be paid like Justin Tucker? No, not necessarily, but I think he's got to make, you know, over $5 million a year. He's got to get closer to that $5 to $6 million range. So it needs to be a raise. He has the highest field goal percentage of any kicker in the NFL combined in the past two seasons. So he's kicking at that level. There is a little bit of a durability concern. He tends to get tight groin, hip, sometimes a quad on his plant leg. So I don't know. Maybe there's some per games active things attached. Really, you want a kicker that's going to kick every single week and have no injuries. With Cam, they are not even – going back and forth right now. There was an offer. It was not to his liking. And right now, unless they make another run at it, he's going to free agency. So they could, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the teams that's interested in Cam. So, you know, we'll see. Hypothetically, I've heard they're looking at a lot of punters. So we'll see if he's going to be one they pursue. Then looking at the college draft, you know, they spent some time on Austin McNamara at the NFL scouting combine. But yes, there could be change. I mean, it's fluid. You know, we're talking tonight, but it could change tomorrow. It's the one I see more and more likely would be Kyahmi, and I could see Cam leaving.
Okay, yeah.
Good insight.
They could get him back for similar to the 3-year, $8 million deal they signed him to originally.
I mean, I would take Cam for that 100%, but –
he did miss some time last year, and you saw, you know, what life was like without him. Ty Zentner was very poor. Matt Amendola was not a good replacement for Kyahmi, and at one point Dari Ogunbowale had to kick. So, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes you have to pay for these.
Help me understand how valuable those positions are. You know, that's why I'm like, if we got to pay a little bit, I'm down for it, but I also understand I'm not a GM and got to make all those decisions.
Well,
so.
It's not my money, so you know it's easy for me to say. It's not, you know, this isn't fantasy football, and I always caution people to think just because they have a lot of money doesn't mean that Nick's going to all of a sudden change his negotiating style. I do think there's some adaptation to money, and I would say to fans, they're saving some of these things probably for bigger moves for the open market. So, you know, they may sense opportunities. Now that the franchise tag thing is done, and I expect most of the time other teams not to do the negotiating for you, you know, in terms of, oh, I get far down the road negotiating with, say, just for example, hypothetically, Brian Burns, and then, okay, yeah, we'll just give him for a first-round pick, and, yeah, you can have him and the contract. Does that sound like something that Carolina would want to do? Not sure. Kind of think probably not. And so most people, even when it's the non-exclusive tag, like I think it's been like 25 years since I got left in these situations. So do I think Michael Pittman Jr. is going anywhere? I know people are going to say, oh, it'll be offer sheet. Why don't you just do this with T. Higgins? The 23rd pick won't be that good. You're going to hear lots of that stuff. I leave that to the people that like to, you know, do that speculation or fits and stuff like that. I don't waste any of my time on that. I more power to anyone that wants to do that. I just like to stick with what I think is likely. And if I hear something like, you know, something they're working on something, but I don't have the time, quite honestly, to do that sort of stuff. It's great. Then sometimes people misinterpret them as reports. Not so great, but said to be really, really exact when I'm talking about free agents and who wants whom and what's a fit. And yes, I know most of the running back meetings for the whole league, but you know, technically you're not supposed to have those meetings. So I know Eckler's, I know Swift's, I know about Pollard, a lot of that stuff. But yeah, you just have to, you know, you have to follow the rules.
No, yeah, 100%. Speaking to the running back, I'll give you a running back question. So you talk about a splash move the Texans might be saving to do. And my big question centers more around you've reported interest from a few of the running backs on their end or the Texans' end, and what the Texans could potentially do. My question is what do you think, or maybe you have some insight on it? Is the biggest roadblock that could stand between them possibly going in the direction of Saquon Barkley?
Well, Saquon Barkley is still in contract talks with the Giants, so they continue to go back and forth. They're working on that. They kind of went all weekend, and then the Giants finally felt comfortable enough to not franchise tag him. So they're still trying to get him. And one thing that the Giants have really sold Saquon is legacy, Giants Ring of Honor, all those things. But the money's got to be there too. So it's got to be a really fair offer for Saquon to forego free agency. Wouldn't surprise me if Saquon went there. He would love to come to the Texans. CJ Stroud would like to have him here as well. They have gone back and forth, but you know, CJ is not the general manager. And I haven't heard of the Texans reciprocating yet. And obviously they do follow the rules. I've heard of some preliminary, you know, thoughts on what about a DeAndre Swift and a Motor Singletary? What if you could have both backs, a two-back system, Pollard from the Cowboys, so a couple of names. And it could even be some smaller ones. You know, what about a J.K. Dobbins and Motor? What about drafting a guy? So they've explored a lot of scenarios, but I would say number one thing would be not money. It would probably just be, you know, does Saquon, does he like the Giants? Does he like their offer? And, you know, I'm kind of doubting that they would do this, put all of their money into one back. So another thing I heard out of the combine from multiple sources is a preference for two running backs. So if that is the preference, then you wouldn't spend all of your money on the running back budget on Saquon. So, yeah, I've never said that he was coming here. I think some people have taken my information, which I think is good information, but I know it is. It's exactly 100% accurate, or someone will refute it by now, but I have a very direct source on what happened there. It doesn't mean the missing piece, and I've always said this, has to be the Texans. They have to step up. And if they don't, And they're not allowed to anyway until next week. So this is a week where you'll hear a lot about interest and what people want and all those things. But, you know, that's all talk. You know, what's real this week is guys getting cut, guys getting extensions from their own teams, and then we're really setting the table for next week, unfettered free agency, and a lot of activity.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll follow up that. I've been asked this question a ton, and I'm just tired of having to not know the answer. What do you think happens with Dameon Pierce? I know, I mean, obviously he's on a rookie deal, so he's cheap. Do the Texans still see something for him, or is it like, hey, he's – I mean, our RB3 at best. Like, what is – where do you think they're at with that, with him?
I don't think he's regaining his starting job unless there's injuries at the position. I think they can't just say, well, it's year three. He'll adjust. He'll all of a sudden become a really adept zone runner. And they're not changing the offense. So when they're not changing the offense, then it's on Dameon to adapt. And last year, obviously, that was tough for him. So – there were a couple of factors that I thought happened with him. I thought he got too light. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. That a lot of his training over the summer, he lost some bulk. He was very thin. I think he was on a diet. I thought he lost a little bit of his power. And he had at one point, I think his body weight was too low. I don't know if he gained a significant amount of it, but that's one thought. Another thought was just a lack of patience running into sort of the butts of his linemen, not really trying to be funny there, just really being fairly literal. You know, you've got to read the whole. So love Dameon. They do too. But, you know, you have to acknowledge the performance. You know, when someone shows you what they're like in an offense, you can't just ignore it and do a, you know, a whole thing like that. You've got to, you know, really factor that in.
I do have one last question for you, since I want to respect.
I've got time. We're good.
Okay.
I got a little more time.
A lot of the national media has been mocking the Texans to take an offensive tackle at 23. I know from what their remarks at the combine, you know, Nick and D'Amico are tight lipped, you know, loose lips sink ships, you know, keeping it in house. But
you
No. Would you say there's higher odds that they take a wide receiver, or where are they trending?
Defense. Corners. Defense? Okay. Pass rushers. Defensive tackles. Positions like that.
And that brings Chop up a Robinson, good point.
Darius Robinson. I don't think he'll be there anymore. The Toledo corner. Quinyon Mitchell. One of the Alabama corners. Any of those things.
Do you think they're preparing for life without Jonathan Grenard with the 23rd overall pick?
No, I don't think you're going to need defensive ends either way, but that is possible. Yeah, I mean, on Jonathan, you haven't asked me about Jonathan yet. It's going to be hard to re-sign Jonathan. It's going to be very expensive. He would have to, in my opinion, and you'll say, well, why? I just think other teams are going to pay a lot. His market's going to get to a point where it's going to, where they get outbid.
Yeah,
they're not desperate to keep Jonathan Grenard. I think there are other suitable defensive ends that they could do that with. Jonathan's great. Nothing wrong with Jonathan. Jonathan's an awesome player. Great guy. Can't emphasize great guy enough, and excellent pass rushing moves. He really put it all together this year. But yeah, they have preferences. They could go with a, you know, slightly bigger guy. They could do a lot of things. I don't know that everyone's going to play with the same motor and effort that you got from JG. You know, there's some questions about that with Chase Young. I've heard about some. Maybe they'd be interested in Chase Young. It's tough. You know, maybe they're going to spend it all on D tackle. I heard the Christian Wilkins thing is real, that they might get in on this Wilkins sweepstakes. Be very expensive. I don't think Chris Jones is going anywhere. I think that the Texans will be involved to some aspect of the middle tier running back market, or, you know, whatever, second tier, not the Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley market. I don't see a big move for a receiver, but sure, you know, maybe someone like Curtis Samuel or Tyler Boyd or even Kendrick Bourne. You know, you'd like to kind of see him get healthy first. He's coming off an ACL, but rehab's going very well. We'll see.
What about guys at receiver? What about guys that are on the roster or leaving the roster now that were on the roster, like Noah Brown or Robert Woods, who I know is under contract, but there's been talk of what could be saved by moving on from Robert Woods. So is there anything to say in regards to who's
there's
the
no
room?
News on Woods. Yeah, I mean, I think they'd even be open to bring him back. They don't need the cap space. So, you know, I don't think they've ruled out keeping him. I don't think they've had that conversation like, yeah, we're cutting you, or it would already come out. I think they're just kind of keeping it loose. Noah Brown, ideally would be back. They'd like to, you know, see if they could come to terms with him. They are open to having Steven Nelson back. He's interested too. So that's something as well where, you know, his camp, they've got some mutual interest there. Same thing with Sheldon Rankins. A lot of possibilities. We'll just see, like, what are the negotiations like? You know, what are the numbers? And all these guys have emphasis on the word free. Free country, free agency, do what you want. Nobody has to, you know, you get it. In the NFL, you have at least some choice of where you want to work when you're not on a rookie contract and not a draft pick. You can pick your team. So, you know, see who else wants you. And for those guys, I think they will have some other choices and some good choices. But, you know, to say crystal ball, this guy's back. I can't do that because, you know, I'm not privy to what they want and every number and all that stuff. And what's the vibe like when they talk to the team? I would say what I'm doing in a way is kind of a play-by-play of a business negotiation. So, you know, you're operating on limited information. Some of it is my common sense. Some of it's just kind of a sense for their preferences, things I've heard during the season, when you're in the building on a regular basis, and then just doing your best with your sources around the league. What are the other teams saying? What, you know, it's a talkative league. So you do your best. And, you know, but I won't sit here and say I know everything because I don't. In the NFL, a lot of it's a lot of FOMO. It's kind of what don't you know? You can know a lot. And there's many things I know that I don't report, things I keep quiet. It's just, you know, I'm not an open book. But, you know, that's how the teams are. They don't tell you everything. So I don't tell you everything either. But that's for a reason. It's for a good reason. You have to protect. You can't break trust with people. So that's why
there's a reason you're a trusted source with all this information.
I know. I feel like I have good common sense about what I can and cannot say. Yeah.
No, yeah.
But
no doubt.
I could say more, but I think it's kind of like sometimes let people read between the lines.
No doubt. Dylan, do you have another question before we kind of bring this thing to a close?
This is not really free agency regarded, but you had wrote about Nico and how they're kind of beginning potential talks in like this offseason.
Yes.
Is the plan and the idea behind that is, hey, we can get him at a discount if we re-sign him after one big year instead of two big years in a row? Or is that just
sometimes it works that way. Yeah, Dylan, it is a good thought because sometimes if you're paying someone early, because you're paying them early, they are foregoing, you're rewarding them with generational wealth, but you're also, they're not, the cap's not as high on what it would be in future years. So everything's based on today's dollars. So it's an economical move, but let's say you're Nico. I don't know what the number would be, but let's say I'm going to throw out a number. What if someone would offer you 4 for $80, but if you waited a whole year, it becomes, let's say, 4 for $86, and you feel like you're giving up a couple million, but you have this generational wealth. The team says, hey, you outplay it. We'll come back to the table. Maybe you put some incentives to make up for market inflation. It's Drew Rosenhaus. That's doing primarily the negotiator on that sort of thing. So what's interesting was, and not to pat myself on the back too much, I had this idea when I saw Nico, and I didn't report it for a couple of weeks. I took him aside at the TriStar production show, great autograph show. He's great with the fans. So I asked him, he said the usual thing, which he would say, yeah, I would love it. I would like to negotiate early. So then night before Nick's press conference, someone told me that, sort of, you know, peripherally involved, that I was onto something, that it could happen after the draft, that they could try to work on it after the draft, see if they can come together on a number. And then Nick surprised me a little bit when he brought it up at the podium. So I guess an idea that had legs, so I'm thinking the same way they were. And yeah, it was interesting to see that. I was actually very flattered to hear what I heard, that yeah, you're dead on. This is coming. So we'll see. But I think that's why you would do it. You would do it early to try to secure the player, have him under team control, reward him for his performances. And, you know, this is something they do in Philadelphia a lot. I think Howie Roseman does a great job with sometimes doing deals early and rewarding guys like, say, like Josh Sweat. If you guys remember, Josh Sweat did it early. I think Jordan Mailata did it early. And so they have kind of a trend. But this is something that some GMs are doing. And if you do have drafting success, guess what it also looks like? It's sort of a feather in your hat if you're the general manager and the team that you are drafting and developing well. So this is the good stuff. So as you guys know, I covered the Ravens for a long time. There were a ton of those extensions where guys were getting new deals. So I was always covering like an Ed Reed doing another deal, or Terrell Suggs, or should I think more recently, like a Joe Flacco, just different contracts that they were doing. And they were always interested in that. Like Nick says, you know, they got to be open to it, to the player wanting to do it early. You know, things like Titus Howard, don't let him get to free agency. If you're interested in the player, you like the player, nothing wrong with doing it early. And I would say, you know, for the fan base and for, you know, for, you know, guys that are in your space that are, you know, maybe not credential, but you're media, all of us are media. Just we're all different kinds of media. Like I'm a beat writer. You guys are analysts and, you know, blogging and, you know, doing graphics and posting on social, but it's all media. But it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, if I'm in your space, I'm thinking, okay, you know, obviously you guys have Texans hats on. So you just sort of like I guess fan media is one phrase I have for it. You're hoping that the team does well. I am glad if the team does well in the sense of if they win, yeah, they're more relevant for me to cover. I don't have a rooting stake in it. I don't make an extra dollar either way. I think it's good for business in a sense that if more people are engaged with your content, but you know, I'm off on a tangent, but point being is things like extensions, if the player is good enough, and keeping them off the market when they're happy to be off the market, they like it here. That means that you have a good program. You have a good culture. They like the facilities. You guys probably saw the NFL Players Association report. You know, they get high marks for the food, the nutrition. The locker room is very nice. You probably see in our videos what the locker room looks like. The training room is also very nice. They do probably need a sauna and steam room. They're one of the few teams that doesn't have that. That's something that does come up where players want that because it makes your body feel better and it helps you heal up a little better. A lot of us, when we go to the gym, like to go to the sauna. You know, we're not professional athletes, but I think a lot of people see the benefit of that. So maybe at some point they'll add that, but it looks like they got high marks overall. So that's good, including high marks for D'Amico and high marks for Cal McNair.
No, yeah, of course. And to speak to your point about not being a fan and covering the team, I can always appreciate guys like that. Like, I know for a fact that Sarge and John Hickman on Locked On Texans are not necessarily Texans fans, and I appreciate that perspective because you don't have anything to gain or lose from just yes. telling it how it is.
I have no axe to grind. Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of people that work there. I hope that they do well. I like a lot of the players. I feel like it's a good locker room. Guys are respectful. Appreciate the way Nick Caserio was, especially at this combine. He was, I think, a little more forthcoming. You know, the winning, I think, helps because he's fiercely competitive. So you kind of saw that. D'Amico Ryans was great with us all year. We would also meet with him on background at times where you wouldn't see a press conference, but we had some conversations with him. So good coaching staff. You know, saw some of those guys in Indy. Yeah, good PR department, all of those things. Cal and Hannah. Good to talk with. I look forward to talking to them at the owners' meetings later this month. Sure, they'll have some interesting comments about, you know, what the state of the roster is after this free agency signing period gets kicked off. So, yeah, it's a good team. It's a good time right now to be associated with coverage of the Texans. And, you know, I just try to kind of be very even keel about it all because they're not my wins and they're not my losses, if that makes sense to you.
No, yeah, 100%. With that, thanks for coming onto the show, Aaron. We really appreciate you bringing your insight for Texans fans that are watching. I'm gonna go ahead and plug your socials for you. I got it pulled up. I'm gonna. So
oh, thank
if
you.
You're not if you're not following Aaron on Twitter, you're missing out, because I don't know if you've noticed, but 9 times out of 10, Texans news is reported per Aaron Wilson. So if you're not following him on Twitter, it's at @AaronWilson_NFL. And if you're looking for Aaron on Instagram, he is at AaronWilson7128. And so go ahead and give him a follow on there.
Thank you.
He's been dropping some good stuff on Instagram too, and Twitter, with the videos that he's been doing on KPRC, just giving his insights on a lot of the stuff we talked about here. Is stuff that's out there that he has been putting out in reports. So definitely give Aaron a follow everywhere you can find him, because that's how you're going to know what's going on with the Texans throughout this offseason. Texans County, or Dylan Delgado, as he is known by his birth name, has taken Tom's place today, because Tom was bowling and, you know, he has the Dynamo game tomorrow. He's got a lot going on in his life, so we're giving him the day off. Thanks for showing up, Texans County. That's on Instagram and Twitter. And I am N1 Texans fan. You can find me on any social at that. And with that, yeah, once again, thank you for coming on today. And as always, stay classy, Houston, and vamos Texans. Thanks for tuning into The Bullpen, a Texans podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen.